Jeremiah 33:3, a very, very familiar verse. One of my favorite verses. I quote it often as I remind you of the promises that we have from God about prayer. Just 19 words, but in those 19 words, it packs one of the most precious and powerful promises that I think is in the Word of God. And it basically reminds us that God wants us to pray. He wants us to call on Him all the time. If you need a miracle, He says, call unto me. If you have a heartache, He says, call unto me. If you're in the middle of a problem, He says, call unto me. But He also says, if everything's going good, if you're on the mountaintop, so to speak, and if you have no problems that you know of, He said, I still want you to call unto me. God wants us to stay in touch with Him. He wants us to talk to Him. You know, I try to call my mother every week, and sometimes I get tied up on Saturday when I usually call her, and I'm so busy on Sunday, so it's usually sometimes it's Monday or Tuesday. She says, oh, I thought you forgot me. I thought you weren't going to call. I said, I'm only 2 days late. I call you every week. What's the matter? She said, oh, I know, but when you don't call. And I just wonder sometimes how God feels when we go days and days without going to Him in prayer and calling upon Him and talking to Him and asking Him for things. And you know, sometimes when a verse in the Bible is so familiar, I mean, many of you can quote this verse, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You can quote it and you've heard it preached many, many times. And you've looked at it and claimed it many, many times as you've gone to God in prayer. But sometimes a verse is so familiar that when we come to it in our Bible reading, if we're not careful, we'll just skim real through it and won't let the Holy Spirit speak to us through that verse. It's like that, I've told this story before, but it illustrates the point. Like that young man that was riding a bus that was going around the Grand Canyon, and it was his first trip around the Grand Canyon. You know, he was just like a kid. He had his face glued to the window, and he was taking in every sight, and he was oohing, and he was on, and just caught up in the splendor of that, of the Grand Canyon. And he noticed on the seat across the aisle from him, there was a lady that had her nose in a book, just like this, all the way around the canyon. And he just couldn't understand. And when the trip was over, he went over to him. He said, ma'am, I couldn't help but notice that you didn't even look out the window one time. Not one time did you look out the window. And she says, I've been on this trip 29 times. I have seen it all. I've seen everything that there is to offer. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll come to a familiar part of the Bible and we'll take that same attitude. I've seen it all. I've been in that verse hundreds of times. I've studied it hundreds of times. There's nothing new in it. And I would submit to you that this book, even the most familiar parts, are new every day. And the Holy Spirit can speak to us in ways that He never has before if we'll let Him. So don't let the familiar rob you of the things that God would have you know about a familiar verse. I was reading in my Bible reading this week, from the book of Jeremiah, and I came to chapter 33. And I almost was guilty of what I'm warning you against this morning. I came to verse 3, and I said, well, I know that, and just sort of skimmed through it. But then I got interrupted. Somebody called on the phone, and so I had to go back at the beginning of verse 33 and read it again. And I came to verse 3 again and sort of skimmed over it. And then one of the guys that was at the conference with me sort of knocked on my door, had a question. We talked for a few minutes, so I had to go back and start at the beginning of chapter 33 again and came to verse 3 again and sort of skimmed over it. And it happened 5 times where I was interrupted and had to go back and start at the beginning of the chapter. And I said, okay, God, I get the message. I'm going to pay attention this time. And when I came to verse 3, I didn't skim over, but I just sort of stopped there and read it over and over and thought about this verse. And there were 3 things that jumped out to me that from this verse, a very familiar verse. I preached from it hundreds of times, but 3 things I want to point out to you this morning. Number 1, I want you to notice how positive a verse it is. It says, I will answer thee. A very positive statement. He doesn't say, I might, or maybe, or if I can, I'll get back to you. But God says, if you call unto me, I will answer thee. You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to doubt it. You just need to know that if you call unto God, He will answer. Now, if there was a if a human being had made this statement, he said, if a human being had said, "Hey, you call unto me and I will answer thee," we could have some doubt about that. Because we as human beings sometimes don't do what we say we do. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get so busy, we get caught up in all the things that we have to do that we forget about promises that we make. Brother Ken was telling me after the Sunday school lesson this morning, we were talking to me a little bit about the Levitical covenant and using David and Jonathan and the covenant that they made. And he was telling me that that covenant was very, very important, and that breaking a covenant, you just didn't do it. Because whatever the consequence was of keeping the covenant, they were better than breaking the covenant. And so David and Jonathan kept the covenant to each other, not only because they were friends, but because they entered into that covenant that bound them to each other. And I thought to myself, and I mentioned to him, I said, boy, this fits right in with my first point. Because when God tells us He's going to do something, He makes a covenant with us, and He will cease to be God if He doesn't keep that covenant. The consequences of God not keeping His promises far outweigh any consequences of Him keeping that promises. And so when God says, "You call unto me and I will answer thee," you can bank on it. You can depend on it, because God, the fact that God is God, backs up every promise that He makes. And so He says, "You call unto me, and I will answer thee." In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, the Bible says this: "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good?" Yeah, there in Numbers, God is asking some rhetorical questions. He says, "Can God lie?" And of course, we know that God cannot lie. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says, it's impossible for God to lie. Is He going to change His mind? Is He going to repent after He promises us something? Is He going to repent and change that promise? And it says in Malachi 3:6, "I am the Lord, I change not." So when God makes us a promise, you can be sure that He's telling the truth and that He will keep every promise that He makes. And when He says, "I will," that's exactly what He means. So this morning, when you claim this promise from God, cast away every doubt. Rest assured that when He says, "You call unto me and I will answer thee," that He'll do exactly what He says. He will do exactly what He says. You say, "Well, but preacher, just a minute. Just a minute. Just stop right here for a minute. I've asked for things from God and I didn't get them. I've asked for things from God, and He didn't answer me when I thought that He should have answered me, and He didn't give me the things that I wanted in answer to my prayer." Just a minute, just a minute, just a minute, just a minute. That verse doesn't say, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and give you everything that you ask for, exactly when you want it." You know, God's a little bit smarter than we are. In fact, God's a whole lot smarter than we are. The Bible says His ways are above our ways and His thoughts are above our thoughts as far as the heaven is above the earth. And God knows what we need better than we know what we need ourselves. And God knows the timing of what we need better than we know ourselves. And so if you are here this morning and you say, "Hey, there's been some times in my life when I prayed and asked God for things and He didn't answer me," I submit to you that He did answer you. Maybe He didn't give you what you asked for because He knew that would be worse for you than what you were going through right then. And maybe He didn't give it to you at the timing that you wanted, but His timing is better than your timing. You listen to me, we have a God that knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we need, and when we call unto Him, He will answer us and give us exactly what He knows fits in with the will of His, with His will for our life. And you'd be a lot better off depending on God, rejoicing in God, and going through the storm that Teresa talked about in her song, sung about in her song this morning. When we go through the storm, God is teaching us. And he wants us to trust him. Like Kelly sang about this morning, I love when God works it all out together and makes the songs fit in with the message. But he wants us to trust him. And he does give us answers, even though it seems like heaven is made out of brass and our prayers aren't getting anywhere. God does hear, and he is answering. And maybe someday, I don't know if we even want to know when we get to heaven, but maybe someday in eternity, God will set us down and he'll say, hey, you remember when you asked for that? Let me just show you what would have happened if I would have given you that. And we get to look back and we get to see the trouble and the trial that we may have gotten into if we would have got what we asked for from God. And God says, hey, you remember how it came out? Don't you remember how it came out? Here's what I was trying to work in your life. Here's what I was trying to accomplish. Here's what I was trying to do. And we'll sit there in heaven and we'll praise God because he did answer. He did answer. You know, this is what faith is all about. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things not seen, the evidence of, I'm not quoting it right, but you know what I'm talking about, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. He said, if you can see it, it's not faith. If you can understand it, you don't need faith. But the times when we can't understand it, and the times that we can't see it, and the times that we don't know what God is doing, that's when faith comes into play. I was talking to a guy last night. I used to work with him. He retired, and his life changed. He got into some terrible trouble, and he was telling me last night through tears over the phone, he says, every one of my dreams is gone. Every one of my dreams is gone. They're just gone. And he mentioned four or five of them. He said, every one of them is gone. And I told him, I said, God, and I said, I can't explain it to you. I mean, I can't say anything that'll make you feel better, but I'll tell you this, God knows what he's doing. And he must have something pretty big that he wants you to do to take you through all this. He knows what he's doing. And we just need to have the faith that says, I believe God. And I trust God. And even though sometimes it seems he doesn't answer when I pray, I know that he really is. Because he promised that he would. It's a very positive verse. Call unto me and I will answer thee. And then I want you to notice number two. It's a very personal verse. I will answer thee and show thee. Not somebody else. You. Not that person that's sitting next to you in the pew. You. Not your Sunday school teacher. You. Not your pastor, you. You call unto God, and God will answer you. You know what? That makes all of us pretty special. You know what? Pretty soon I'm going to celebrate my 39th year with General Motors. You know how many times I've gotten close to the CEO? Two. Just two times in those 39 years, I got to shake his hand and say hello. Two times. I've been a citizen of the United States for 57 years and 2 days. See, the math's easy, Tim. 57 years and 2 days. You know how many times I've met the President of the United States? None. None. Never even been in the same room with him. I've been in the same state sometimes when he came to Michigan. That's as close as I've got. None. Hey, you know, there's sometimes I can't get a hold of you. I call you. You're not home. I get that box. Please leave a message. Or sometimes I want to call you, like when I'm on the West Coast and it's 7:30 and I say, well, I'll just give them a call. Well, then I remember it's 10:30. And I say, well, no, they're probably already asleep. So I don't call. But you know what? I can't get to the CEO of General Motors. I can't get to the President of the United States. I can't even get to you sometimes. But you know what? I can get to God anytime. I can get to God anytime. I don't have to make an appointment. I don't have to fit in to his schedule. I don't have to worry about what time of day or night it is because we got a God that neither slumbers or sleeps. And you know what? When I call him, I don't get the answering machine. Can you imagine what it would be like if we dialed up heaven and God says, well, I'm talking to somebody else right now. Leave your message after the beep. And God, I'll tell you what, God doesn't use his answering machine to screen his calls. You know, sometimes when I call you and you hear your phone ring, you don't answer, and it rings right back. That's me, because I know you're home. You just don't want to talk to me. I'm glad we don't got a God like that. I'm glad we got a God that's on call 24 hours, 365, 366 days this year because it's leap year. And it doesn't matter what time of day or what time of night, I call unto him and he will answer me. 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 Somebody that doesn't deserve to have the ear of God. Me. Somebody who has no merit to offer up to God to justify why I would even expect an answer. Me. Me. And he does the same thing for each one of you. You call unto him, and he will answer you. And then number three, I want you to notice how powerful a verse it is. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and will show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. There's a $10 word that we use to describe God, omnipotent. Goes along with omniscient and omnipresent. Omniscient means God knows everything. Omnipresent means he's everywhere at the same time. And omnipotent means that he has all power. All power. He can do anything that he wants. You go back and you read Genesis chapter 18. Tells a story about a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. And God came to him and he says, you two are going to have a baby. And they laughed. They both laughed. It's impossible. No way. And God says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is my arm shortened that I can't do what I say? In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the Bible says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. God's power has no limit. It cannot be stopped. Jesus is God, and look at what he did when he was here on earth. He spoke a word from the deck of a ship, and the storm was calmed. He spoke a word, and a blind man saw, and devils were cast out of people. He spoke a word, and sins were forgiven. He spoke a word, and Satan had to flee from him. His power has no limit. He can do anything. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. You see, some of us think we have some pretty big imaginations sometimes, and that we can dream big dreams, and that we can imagine big things. But I want to tell you something. You can't dream anything that God can't do. You can't imagine anything that God can't do. In fact, he says, I am so powerful, I can do things that you can't even think of, that you can't even dream of. I can show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the writer quotes from the book of Isaiah when he says, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I was talking to one of our ladies this week, and we were talking about heaven. She called me. She had a couple questions about heaven. And we talked about heaven. The fact that there's no night there. The fact that there's no pain. The fact that there's only one street. These songs that we sing about the streets of heaven, they're wrong. There's only one street in heaven. Everybody lives on the same street. Same street. There's not an other side of the tracks on heaven. We live on the same street. There's not a poor section and a rich section. We live on the same street. Our mansions are all on the same street. And we talked about heaven, and we talked about being there with Jesus. And after when we were just about to get done, I told her this. I said, just think about heaven, and think of all the good things that we've talked about, and all the good things that we haven't even talked about, and then multiply it by a billion times, and maybe you'll begin to understand what heaven is all about. Paul said, I don't know if I knew a man. This is what he said. I knew a man. I don't know if he was in the body or out of the body, but he was caught up to the third heaven. And he said, I saw things that's not lawful for me to talk about. And what he was saying is, I don't know how to describe it. I saw things that words do not exist for me to, I just don't know how to describe it. And we think we have a pretty good idea about what heaven's going to be. But I'll tell you something, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. When you get there, you'll just be like a little kid that walks into a candy shop for the first time. You say, wow. Wow. And then you'll realize, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be here. You see, the greatest expression of this verse, the greatest way it expresses itself is that when it comes to our salvation. Because, you see, the Bible says that every single one of us are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And when I think about heaven, and I think about that place that God has prepared, I have to come back and say, I'm not worthy of that. I'm not, because I'm a sinner. I mean, you know, I often illustrate with people. I said, hey, everybody's got to admit they're a sinner. And sometimes I have to work a little hard to find one of the commandments that they've broken. But I'll be honest with you this morning. I broke a bunch of them. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve to be loved by God. But he loved me. And when I was a sinner, he sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. He took every one of my sins and he paid the price. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then there's that verse in Romans chapter 10 that says this, call unto me. Just like Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me. That verse in Romans 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I was thinking a couple nights ago, that's one of those great and mighty things which I don't know about. I've experienced it, and I've explained it to hundreds and hundreds of people trying to get them to do the same thing that I did. But I cannot fathom, I cannot understand the depths of that great and mighty thing when I called on Jesus and he saved me. I think I understand it a little bit, but I think it's probably just the tip of a great big iceberg that I won't understand completely till I get to heaven. If you're here this morning and you've never called on Jesus, would you claim the positive, personal, powerful promise that's in Jeremiah 33:3? He said, call unto me and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then go over to the New Testament and read that verse that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not perhaps, it's just as positive, shall be saved. It's just as personal. It's for you. It's for you. You call on Jesus and he'll save you. And it's pretty powerful because it takes us from an eternity in hell to an eternity in heaven. It takes us from an eternity apart from God to an eternity with God. And by the way, I'm almost out of time. I'm going to quit in just a minute. But we don't have to wait till we die till heaven starts. We sang that song this morning. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Yeah, we live in trials, and there's people in this room this morning that are going through heartaches with their families and with situations that are going on in their life. People that are in the middle of the storm that Teresa sang about a moment ago. But listen to me. You listen to me. If you're a child of God, you got a God that knows what's going on in your life. And he doesn't leave us or forsake us. He never goes to sleep. He never slumbers. He never puts us on hold. He's there beside us every moment of every day. You say, preacher, I've been praying for something and praying for something and praying for something and hadn't gotten any better. Pray on. Pray on. He will answer. And he will show you great and mighty things which we cannot imagine or we cannot think of. What a wonderful God that we have. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being that kind of God, for being a God that hears us when we call and has the power to do things that we can't imagine, to show us great and mighty things. You did that when you saved us. And I know most people here this morning have already seen that great and mighty thing because they've called on Jesus. But perhaps there's one or two that are in our midst that have never done that. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would draw them to our Savior. You would help them understand there's no other way to you, no other way to God than to come through Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, you'd help them see their sin. Help them see how that sin separates them from God. Help them see how Jesus paid the price. And this morning, have them call. Have them call on the Savior. Father, I pray for Christians that are here, many, many, going through heartaches and trials. I just pray that we remember that we have a God that knows what's going on. And when we call, he will answer. He will answer. Father, bless this time of invitation. Again, if there's somebody here that's never received Christ, help them to be the first one to respond. But speak to us as Christians. Work a work in our life that you know needs to be worked this morning. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray.